This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Odile Donald Odita is an abstract painter who is recognized as much for his ideas about art as he is for his work. During his painting process, he pays attention to history, emotion, and culture, and he wants even his colors to elicit memories and conversation. He recently finished two murals in Durham that reflect on the city's past and present and its identity. The murals were commissioned by Duke's Nasher Museum of Art as part of Nasher 10, a celebration of the first decade of that museum's existence. Odile's going to be downtown Durham this Saturday as part of Nasher 10 Unplugged. It's a downtown block party, but first he joins me in the studio. Odile Donald Odita, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
You were born in Nigeria, but grew up in the United States. You're in a family of artists. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. My father was a art history professor. He taught history of African art and archaeology at The Ohio State University. And before that, he was a painter. As a little kid in Columbus, I was essentially his artist assistant. When he was painting, I would help him stretch the canvas, put the rapid skin glue down, and watch him paint.
Did that help you develop an interest in art or not?
I think so. I think so.
Because it could have gone the other way.
It's true.
What was it about? What was it, apart from being that close to it and really the kind of the nuts and bolts of art, what was it about art that attracted you?
Well, it actually got me out of the boredom of suburbia. Mm. I was living in suburban neighborhood in Columbus, and it was pretty. I look back, it was pretty dull for me. But art gave me a sense of escape. It was first comic books, and television, of course, watching TV. But that gave me a sense of escape into this world of possibility. And I think that I continued that with my own painting.
One of the subjects that seems to interest you is this exploration of race. Given the fact that you are a black man who is African in North America, that has been an interesting topic for you to explore. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean it's very interesting because it's very specific, not only in the way that I express it, but everybody in the world has their own relationship to identity, however it's formed. And I think that the conversation, as I've seen it grow, has become more complex in the way that we can investigate. I am African, having been raised in America, and that kind of complicates the whole notion of authenticity. I think really I'm interested in the fictions of authenticity. Mm. And interested in also looking at history and people's actual stories relative to how things can be fictionalized.
What do you mean, the fictions of authenticity?
Well, the idea of, say, I was saying it to a class yesterday at Duke. You can be told where you're from. You can be given food from, say, a space or location that's identified with that space or location and told stories about this reality. But what if you actually were from somewhere else and you're put into this reality and then that reality you're told XYZ, but you're coming from somewhere else exactly different than that? The idea of being told stories, being reaffirmed, an aspect of what is real for your history is really one thing, but it's coming from narratives.
Yeah. Narratives that often you're not in control of. Mm-hmm. If you're a marginalized population in this country, you aren't in control of who you are. You've been dictated to. You can either internalize that or not, and then then enforce it within your own community.
And that's true. And at the same time, I have to consider the reality of experience. I mean, what I experienced, and that also helps to shape who I am. And maybe those experiences are based upon those codes of representation of this person looks like this, so we're going to treat the person like this. So I mean, it becomes kind of a domino effect if we look at how things are formed from, say, these constructions,
right,
and then lived from those constructions.
So what role do you think how do you see your art playing into that? I know you've been commissioned to do several large-scale installations. Is that something you find is sort of more expressive? It gets to some of these questions for you?
It does, because it adds dimension of specificity of location and purpose. Mm-hmm. I was asked at the Nasher to do an installation at the museum, and then through the Nasher to do an installation in town. And in the process, I learned a lot about Duke and its history, and as much as Durham and its history. And it's always really interesting to do these kinds of projects, because I don't enter them as say, a tourist you know, there's a lot of these international biennales and so forth, and artists can go into these shows, but they kind of end up being tourists as artists. And this is something better than that, because I actually get to spend time, come back and do revisits to learn more and more and more about the place I'm going to work in.
So when you begin this work, I mean, but still you're an outsider, right, taking
yes.
a look? Or do you feel that way? Or do you want to immerse yourself to the point where you're taking a more subjective point of view?
Well, that's funny you say that, because I think in my experience of growing up as an outsider, and it's not unique, say, to I'm the only outsider in the world, but people who have that sense of being they tend to have to respond quicker to gathering information in their environment for survival's sake, to be able to survive the environment, to traverse the landscape. So for me, having that sense of foreignness, of maybe this is going to be the next segment.
We'll reprise this.
Having that sense of being an outsider, I think, is something that I was being born into that situation. Yeah. I think it's something that I've learned how to navigate really well. And so when I do these kinds of commissions, I guess I'm using that, or I'm orienting myself with that sensibility through the work.
Tell us about your process. You've been commissioned to do one, as you said, one mural for the museum, and one that's going to be on one that's on the YMCA in downtown Durham. What's your process, and how do you do that? Because it's not representational.
Right.
You're not showing, you know, a sort of the representational picture of Black Wall Street.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have a certain way of working with color and pattern, and I really believe in the way that the drawing and the color works is can be appropriate to specific situations, each specific situation. In the case of the Nasher Museum, it was this wall, and really in a beautiful museum, it's this grand architecture there. I was looking for something in the history of Duke University while I was constructing and thinking of the ideas and the color for the artwork. And then I came upon this website that spoke about Julian Francis Abel, who was the primary architect for the design of the school of Duke University. And I read this history, and I was just amazed, him being the first African-American to graduate from the University of Pennsylvania's prestigious architecture school, being the president of that of his senior class, and then being hired into this architecture firm, Trumbauer, straight out of school, and then 9 years being the lead architect, then going on to design buildings at Harvard, New York City, and then Duke University. It was just really amazing. And then to know that this history was its story of shadow and light.
Yeah.
It's known at Duke University, but it goes in and out of when it's known. And there was a point in the 80s with his granddaughter writing into the school newspaper because of the divestment protest for South Africa. It became knowledge again, through her letter. And that was fascinating. I was like, this is what this mural is about.
Yeah.
And after I read that.
I mean, the fact that he had to come down incognito to visit his own work because he wouldn't be allowed in the front door as a black man at that time. So it's an incredible. So tell us then about the particular piece, the piece you did now at the Downtown Y called Time Bridge.
Yeah, Time Bridge is, I feel it's a really complicated painting. And that for me was the best title I could put to that work. And the titles for me are always a kind of key or entry or doorway into an artwork. It's not the meaning or the specific reason, but it gives an entry point for the viewer to contemplate what they're seeing. And for me, it's a kind of a bridge into the history of Durham, a bridge into the history of the South. I lived in Tallahassee, Florida for 6 years teaching at Florida State University, and I got to experience a lot about the South outside of knowing what the Atlanta airport's all about. And it's really interesting to think about this notion of time as a means of connection, and of connection to like a community's past, and how this past signifies and is foretelling of what the future of the city will be. And I see Durham as a city of opportunity, a city that's open to people with ideas. It's apparent at Duke. It's apparent at the other universities here. It's apparent with the Black Wall Street story, and the tobacco industries and all of that kind of sense of opportunism and mm-hmm. prosperity that's here in this city. So for me, it's this idea of what about going into the past and looking at all those aspects, thinking about that and how it might apply to even this Southern story.
You can see photos of Odilia's work and on our website, stateofthings.org. I'm talking to Odilia Donald Odilia, who has been commissioned by the Nasher to do a couple of murals as part of their 10th anniversary celebration. You talked about the panels, the waves of color, and then these sort of white panels that you see as bridges. And I think the beauty of the work is, given the flux that you talk about in this mm-hmm. complicated history, they're bridges. They can be walls as well, right? I mean, they can be barriers.
They're
right?
walls. They're wings.
Yeah.
It's an unfolding of a maybe a map or some kind of long storybook. You know, I even think of associations, you know, contemporary associations with things like a time machine on a computer, and how you have those pages that go historically back that show your backups or something like that. But this idea of playing with this notion of what a bridge in time can be and what it means to have that gap in the work and realize that there is maybe a last step, or this bridge is continual. It's going to always have to exist, where we always have to try to make a connection or have this connection there. So a lot of things like that.
On the State of Things today, now I'm joined by Trevor Schoonmaker. He is the chief curator at the Nasher Museum of Art at Duke University, and he's been working there almost since the museum's inception. Trevor, welcome to the State of Things.
Good to see you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about the history of the Nasher now. We've got 10 years to look back. There was a mission for the museum, and so we'll look back and see how well you've done. But talk about the mission for the museum.
Well, the mission has been defined as we've gone forward year to year. So I think all the attention, understandably, was on opening the museum and getting the bricks and mortar. And and then you realize, you know, my God, we need a program that's going to be very ambitious, like the university itself, and that is relevant both in the contemporary art world and locally in the Triangle in North Carolina. Like, and I say the contemporary art world, I mean internationally. But then also provides a service for the university, for working with faculty and students and the broader community.
You talked about the challenge of just getting the bricks and mortar in place. It wasn't so much as much a technical challenge as it was a challenge within the walls, right? I mean, the idea of the Nasher wasn't easily received initially.
Yeah, I wasn't here then when the idea was being pushed forward, but certainly Ray Nasher was the one, the primary force behind making the museum a reality, both in cutting a check, but more so in actually encouraging the administration to say, if you want to present yourself as a world-class institution, you need a world-class museum, and you can't ignore the arts. And sciences and business are well represented, but let's put the arts at the same level.
And that was the hard sell. To a certain extent, the university had gained a reputation in the sciences and medicine, and so what's all this art about? We're fine. Leave us alone.
Yeah, now you can see that the administration has been really behind us since the museum opened, and I think the results hopefully speak for themselves.
Well, it has helped with engagement in the community at the very least, and of course brought some really terrific art into the area that has then, and this is unusual for a university museum, a lot of your exhibits have gone on to other museums as well.
That's true. That's definitely unusual for a university museum or maybe even any museum of our scale. So to travel exhibitions semi-regularly to New York, Los Angeles, overseas, it's pretty unusual. But also to be in the conversation with those institutions, to have the Whitney where our Archibald Motley show is right now, or the Brooklyn Museum where our Wageshi Mutu show was, or to have them actually seek us out and want to partner with us is pretty unusual for a museum of our size or a university.
And you have worked to cultivate a strong collection of art and artists of African descent. Tell us about that and kind of the rationale behind that and how that's worked.
Well, it's always a confluence of things. So it's definitely somewhere where I have a comfort level and experience and contacts and desire and commitment. Odilia and I actually have known each other for 15 years, and we worked together on a show in New York in 2003. But in coming here, it made sense. So every personal desire of a curator isn't necessarily a fit for whatever institution they work for. But, you know, Durham's almost 45% African-American, has a great history here. there are great scholars like Rick Powell at Duke University who can teach with this collection, and others, and many, many others at Duke and UNC and Central, who use the collection regularly in teaching. And all those things combined, and maybe the most important thing or the catalyst was that so few museums in the United States had actually given works by artists of African descent their due recognition. And you see them all playing catch up now nationally. Now, I'm not talking about regionally. I'm talking about nationally and even internationally. And from the day we opened, that was one of our focuses. So it's helped set us apart a little bit.
We are talking about the anniversary of Duke's Nasher Museum of Art today on The State of Things. Trevor Schoonmaker is the chief curator at the Nasher, and I'm also talking with Odile Donald Odita, an abstract painter and mural artist who has been commissioned to help with the celebration. You know, you talked about knowing Odile and having a relationship for 15 years, and it's sort of interesting because people talk about old boys networks, right? It's networks. How does this art get done, and then how does it get promulgated, and why does a certain kind of form, you know, sort of reproduce itself over and over? The idea that the Nasher, in general, and you in particular, would be intentional about this kind of thing. Then the connections that you bring to this is how we open this up for people who are puzzled about how we can break through networks and cultural traditions that seem to be tied to the same type of art. I mean, it seems like that's part of the formula. Let's celebrate the old boys network and get a lot more old boys and women and children into the process.
Yeah, I would say that the old boys we're bringing into the discussion are different than what the group of artists that most of the other museums have traditionally, historically been bringing into the discussion. Like you said, we've brought a lot of women and also into the conversation at the Nasher, a lot of artists of color. And I think that's where we're really trying to make a difference. But yeah, the art world's built on personal relationships. And if you don't have that personal network, your institution can only do so much. Odile, I don't know if you want to speak to this.
Yeah, I'm wondering about your feeling in general about whether things are opening up a little bit, and I guess the art world at least.
In the art world, I definitely see a lot of opening up with the younger artists, newer ideas. As a professor of painting at Tyler School of Art, I'm always having to speak to the questions that students are bringing to the class and to speak to those ideas that are challenging the old ones. In fact, it's a dynamic art world. You have people who are – there's all sorts of contests, let's say, in the art world and different levels. But I think in the end of the day, it's healthy for art because it helps to change it. Yes.
Tell us more about the celebration, Trevor, and I know that Odile is certainly a very important part of celebrating your 10th anniversary. What else is going on?
Well, the main thing we have looking forward is this block party on Saturday, where we're from 3 to 7:30. We'll be celebrating the 10 years, but doing it in downtown Durham. So taking, you know, the work, so to speak, out into the community where Odile has already executed a beautiful mural on the side of the YMCA. But also screening a film at 6:45, a documentary on the process of Odile's painting and how it came about. So that's the primary thing. But then we have a show. We've reinstalled our entire permanent collection at the museum. We have put up a show called Reality: My Surroundings, which is works that engage social issues and cultural issues from our contemporary collection. So there's a lot of things going forward.
Well, thank you for 10 great years. Here's to many more, and congratulations, Trevor, to you.
Thanks very much.
And Odile, what a pleasure. Great to talk with you.
Thank you so much
for your contribution to our community. Trevor Schoonmaker is chief curator at Nasher's Museum of Art at Duke University. Odile Donald Odita is an abstract painter who recently completed two murals in Durham. And Nasher Museum of Art celebrates its 10th anniversary Saturday with a block party, as we just said, downtown Durham, 3 to 8. You can get all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. And I should tell you, this just in, members of the House are stunned. Representative Kevin McCarthy abruptly took his name out of the race for Speaker. He was widely expected to be elected or nominated by the Republican caucus. He has removed his name, and so things are in turmoil in the House of Representatives on Capitol Hill. Stay tuned to this station for more details. Meanwhile, on this station, we will share malapropisms with you. And if you like the way language is mangled, give us a call at 877-962-9862 or tweet us at #malaprop. As we talk about the ways language is misused on The State of Things.